You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Joining us now is the birthday man himself, one and only from the great state of Texas, from California and Minnesota as well, Michael Musselman. What is up, birthday dog?
A good thing you're not making a living here now.
Yes. So, birthday man, what's up? How's your birthday going so far?
Just like every other day. I mean,
come on.
No, I mean, so, you know, you get to the point, and you're probably there now, too, because you're an old guy. As you get to the point where you're like,
another one?
Thanks, but, you know, oh, I didn't get you a card. I don't care. I don't get you a card, so, I mean, it's like one of those things. It's like,
it can't be just another day. Come on, your birthday.
What's so special about a birthday?
You're special about your birthday.
I didn't get to choose this day.
I know. It chose you, but that's...
I don't like having a birthday in November.
You don't?
Definitely around, you know, being a kid growing up, November, so you get winter presents. It's like, oh, great, pair of nutter skis. What about a baseball mitt? You don't play baseball in the winter, stupid.
What? Wait a minute, this makes no sense to me. It's just your birthday. It's a day when people let you know that you're a special guy.
No, I mean growing up. So then my birthday falls during election time, so it was always kind of this, you know, growing up, especially during the big elections, people were like, oh, shoot, I forgot it was your birthday. It was concentrating on elections.
Oh, my God, come on. Is your family that political? They forgot your birthday?
No, they probably used that for an excuse.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, mine's in a month, so mine's after yours. You know, Christmas was upon us. It's not that close to Christmas that they could use it as, oh, here's two presents for you.
Tina's dad was like, I think Christmas.
Oh, Christmas Day?
Yeah.
Yeah, you totally get screwed on that deal, man. That's a bad deal. I read about you today. I read something about you. Yeah. The headline says...
It's illegal, I'm going to sue him.
No. It says, polytrauma triad linked to suicidal behavior, but main driver is PTSD. Pain, traumatic brain injury, post-traumatic stress disorder. Together they are known as a polytrauma triad. The three conditions co-occur often along with other injuries, and 4 out of 10 veterans receiving polytrauma care in the VA system. Yeah. How do you about that? You're a polytrauma guy.
What?
Yeah. Oh. Pain, right? You have that from migraines, right? And other maladies. Traumatic brain injury, you got you got that, right? And PTSD, and you have that. So
I got polys more, yeah.
So polytrauma triad. So you've got, you got the hat trick, bro. Congratulations on your birthday.
Great.
Happy. You win. So got that going on. What is, here's an email. Mac, wish you got her happy birthday. I'd be curious, what's the one place he would like to go that he's never been? The chef and I were talking about this. What's the one place you'd like to go that you've never been, and you can break it? I'll give you, you have to have two choices. One would be a tourist place, another one would be a historical place. Okay?
Why do you get a limit to that?
Because
first of all, I don't ever want to go to a tourist place, because that means there's tourists.
Okay, then the second one would be a non-historical place. I broke it up that way. You don't need to do that. You could just give me a historical place and then some other place you want to go to. I said, I've never been to... I know I've asked you this, but I don't remember. There's so much in my life I don't remember. It's hilarious.
Yeah, I know. That's welcome to my world, too.
Hey, Dad, do you remember? Like, what?
No. I don't even remember this morning. So that's what I tell people. like, I have a hard time putting everything in perspective what I just did. And that's just part of the book. Like, I just woke up.
Yeah. Seriously, I mean, I don't, like, people tell me, like, oh, yeah. Well,
you know what I noticed? Well, let me, I'll answer your question in a second.
Now that you mention it, I remember that.
What I noticed is I get closer because November 8th, I'm getting my next series of Botox. So two things. One, as it winds down, the headaches come back and they hurt, man. They hurt. But I know there's relief. There's the light at the end of the tunnel. It's down there. It's way down there, but I can get there. But what I also notice is, man, towards the end when it hurts and stuff, my memory is shot. Oh, I can't remember anything. It's not even like the game of Clue. You know, I don't even know who is Mrs. Purple or whatever their hell's names are. See, I can't remember that. I can't remember anything in the next game.
Professor Plum in the study.
See, I thought Purple, like Professor Purple.
Professor Plum in the study with the knife.
I can't even play that game right now because it just, my mind is just like.
I hated that game.
It's just, it's not even like it's all over the place. I just can't pull anything out of it. Like, and then November 8th?
That's the polytrauma triad.
November 8th, though? It's like those shots, I wake up, and everything is like, wow, crystal clear again.
Well, the happy song's on? Because I'm happy.
I can see again.
Ooh.
The two places that I'd like to go right now, if I could have my wish, one would be the North Pole.
I'm so disappointed in you. You're a total
You're a total
piece of shit. You need to go to the South. Yeah, you need on your birthday with polytrauma. You need to go.
You know what? I'd take you too.
No, I don't want to go there. I want to go to the South Pole, and I want to do the Shackelford thing.
Well, no, that was next. I want to go to both poles. But right now, I want to go to the North Pole.
We're going
to
be bipolar?
Yeah, bipolar. Because we are bipolar. And you know what? If I had that wish, I would say, I wish I could go to the North Pole. And these are the people that I want to come with me to share.
Ooh.
Mike McNamara,
who's
currently
in
California, so pluck his ass up right now. Because then you'd be like, poof. Next thing you know, you'd be in the park.
What am I doing?
Like, what the hell?
Yeah, what am I doing here? Like, hey,
Mac, welcome to the North Pole. This is part of my wish.
I don't want
to
be
I don't want to be here. That's why you're here.
Exactly. That's why you're here.
This makes me happy. You would be in, people would be in misery.
Misery, and I would be happy.
Yes, I would be happy. No, I'd go to places like, I went to Patagonia once, and I'd like to go back there. That's probably one place I'd love to go.
Isn't that
I didn't get to experience it.
Wait a minute, is that a store, Patagonia? Isn't that like a retail outlet? What are you talking about?
Patagonia in South America.
Oh.
It's a region.
It's a region? Are you sure?
Yeah. It's not a store.
I thought it was a store. Let me look it up. He makes shit like... Yeah, it's a retail place. Patagonia.com. Outdoor.
No, Patagonia, South America. Chile. South America. Down south. It's a region.
The region.
That's where I'd like to go.
Why?
It is, I think, probably some of the most beautiful.
Oh, I can see why.
Isn't that nice? It's way down there.
You know what it looks. You know what it looks like. It looks like Switzerland. It looks like the Alps or something.
But better.
Wow. I know, because they have Chilean women, maybe Colombian women there too. Whoa. Whoa, that's crazy. Look at that.
Isn't that beautiful? I'd love to be there.
How did you ever find out about Patagonia?
We on the ship and stuff, so I saw it from a distance. I was like, oh, my God. If the water wasn't so cold and probably filled with things that would probably try and kill me, like killer whales, I'd swim to shore.
It's gorgeous, man.
Yeah, so it's on the, as you round the horn,
what horn?
Or the cape, whatever one, that one is called down there. And on the southern part, on the western side, right? Yeah, western side of, of South America, or as it goes down, there's a region called it's Patagonia, and it's like a big national park. But some of the sites there, they got, you know, mountains, always snow-capped mountains, pristine lakes, just freaking beautiful. And I'd like to go down there and go camping, kayaking, mountain climbing, just experience it. You know, like take the 3 weeks. That would be fun.
Here's an email. Mac, it's Shackleton, not Shackleford.
Did you say Shackleford?
Quit trying to piss him off. He's got polytrauma. He's got polytrauma, goddammit. I said Shackleton. I don't know why I always say Shackleton, though. When I say Shackleton, he knows that I mean Shackleford. That's the language. That's how it translates. I didn't mean to be disrespectful.
No, when
I
you just say Shackleford, you meant to mean, you, it's the other way. You said, don't do this. You're confusing me. but Patagonia would probably be one place I'd go.
Okay. What's another
Other place, huh?
Go ahead. What's the other one? You have two.
Where can I legally shoot people right now? Syria? Niger?
No. There's all ROE. And all those.
Well,
places.
Not as a mercenary.
No, as a mercenary, you could pretty much go wherever you wanted and do that stuff as long as you're.
Yeah,
working.
But I want to fight for good. So for Niger, good? Is that still going on?
Is
it Najar or Niger?
Yeah, I don't know. You hear it.
Niger.
Yeah, the pronunciations are all over the place. Niger. I don't know. You know the whole mercenary thing. I think it's not very good quality of life. It seems like a good idea at the time.
Well, just for the day.
Oh, a day.
Day trip. Take some buddies.
Where are there a lot of bad human beings? Iran. I say you go to Iran. I say that.
Yeah,
you know,
take a team with me.
Yeah, that whole country is.
That'd be fun.
The Iranians do not want to be at war with the rest of the world, and they got a bunch of assholes that run it.
But there's some really nice people there, so you gotta be
careful. Oh no! But the people, the Republican Guard guys and all that stuff—they're not. It's like, stop it already! Really? Come on, man! Can't we all just get along? So I think Iran, and then turn it back over to the people. Run this thing the way you want to. You don't need to go around the world and destabilize everything and all that bullshit.
Yeah,
so that would just be me.
But so Patagonia would be number one. Number two, take some buddies. Strap it on, get some gear on, go out on a patrol and get in a firefight just for the day.
Nobody get hurt?
No one get hurt, except for them.
The bad guys get hurt. Okay, so that's fine. That'd be kind of
unless you're a fool, then I can't keep you from being an idiot.
Here's an email I got earlier today. It's entitled, Duh. Okay, here's something funny. You'll be getting a package today from me. I got my new Facebook friends mixed up. I saw that it was Michael's birthday today, and I thought it was you. It was the Gunner's birthday, so enjoy your early or late birthday present. Libby. Sorry, bro, I got your birthday present. I got your birthday present.
Libby.
Thank you. And then she says, man, I was close. No, you're outside the 30-day window, so you have to get me a second one. This is just a mistake, but thank you anyway. She said,
what the heck?
She said, don't get too excited. It ain't that big of a thing. Because she's from Alabama, and that's how they talk. So, anyway. So, thanks, man. Thanks for the birthday.
Yeah, thanks, Libby. Thanks for sending Mike.
Appreciate it. All right. Here's another email.
Oh, Fremantle, Australia. I'd go to Fremantle, Australia on the western side. That place is beautiful, too. It's like that seaside, small town, but all Australian.
How many times have you been to Australia?
Oh, a bunch of times. 3 or 4 times.
Have you ever been to Iwo Jima?
Yeah, I spent time on Iwo Jima. I spent like 3 days on Iwo Jima.
God, you been everywhere, man. You're like,
I showed you that picture of us, didn't I?
No, I've never seen a picture
of you. I'll have to find that picture of us.
I've never seen a picture of you on Iwo Jima. Fremantle, yep. Australia. Why is Fremantle... Why Fremantle? Why do I know Fremantle, Australia?
Fremantle's the water town. Perth is the town that's in. So it's always called Perth and Fremantle.
But why was it in the news?
I couldn't tell
you. The city is named after Captain Charles Fremantle, the English naval officer who established a camp on the site on the 2nd of May, 1829.
You get all the history with us, too.
Yeah, it's good stuff. But there's a reason, history. You know, the when you go where the places the Brits settled in the Pacific, they're pretty cool. The architecture's cool. The Brits knew how to conquer places. But there's post-Second World War politics. The city of Fremantle introduced several new urban renewal projects in 2012. No. Mm-hmm. It was something, I can't remember.
Oh, I'd like to go visit my Afghani family that you guys took a picture with. I haven't seen them in a long time. I wonder how the girls are doing.
The girls don't count in Afghanistan. We all know that.
Yeah, but my girls did.
Your girls did.
So everybody knows, these ass clowns, I was gone a lot, and so these ass clowns did a Photoshop, actually a pretty good one, of me, and they picked the wrong, now these aren't Afghanis, these are actually Hindu Indians, because the dot on the head.
It didn't matter.
But, what was it, who was it? Corsi. He doesn't know anything.
He would spend hours, like...
Photoshopping.
Oh, yeah, he knew... Okay, he's his staff sergeant, and he's pretty funny. He has some really funny stories.
From, like, New Jersey.
Yeah. He's from Western Pennsylvania. And he...
That's New Jersey.
And he... the exact same group of people.
Yeah, same group of people.
He deploys to... He tells these really funny stories about being, like, what we call a motard. He reports to his first unit in Hawaii, and he's gone home on leave, and he shaved all but like a tuft of hair in the front of his head, right? Like, he reports in, and they're looking at him going, like, what is wrong with you? Like, what? What do you mean, Sergeant? I'm here. I love being a Marine. Like, all right. So now he's going to go out on liberty, right? He goes, and he gets a Marine Corps baseball hat, and that red satin jacket that said Marines down the left, like,
yeah, boot jackets. Or we used to call them Sackett jackets, because Sackett was a guy in our unit with a boot. So we called them Sackett jackets.
He comes down to sign out in the Liberty Log, and the duty NCO sees him and says, you're not going out in town like that. He says, what? Of course I am. I'm proud to be a Marine. I don't care if you're not. He's like, you are not going. You're not going out of town like that. He said, I was livid. I had to go back up and change. They made me change. Oh, and so he does his first deployment, I want to say, as a corporal to Iraq. And he gets promoted to sergeant. He gets meritoriously combat promoted to staff sergeant in Ramadi in, I want to say, 2006, maybe. Yeah, Craig Corsi, when you see him, he looks like a fighter. And so
he's got this goofy smile on his face.
Yeah, and he can tell a funny story. And so he tells a story about when they were going back for their second deployment, where he does get promoted meritoriously, combat meritorious to staff sergeant. He goes and he takes out like a $6,000 loan, like 2 months before they leave.
Yeah,
and he blows this because he's like, well, I could have got killed, right? I knew what we were going to do. Ramadi was Thunderdome. So what the hell? Why wouldn't I? He takes out a $6,000 loan.
Blows it all on cheap booze and hookers.
You should hear the stories, man. Limousine, yeah. Lance corporals in limousines, right? Doing flying places, doing shit.
Two girls under every arm, yeah.
Oh, and he's telling stories. He's like, we almost got killed before we got on the plane. We were like dead. We were like.
And he lives.
Right.
And now he's got to pay back the loan.
Pay back the six. But he was single. He didn't care. Like, I'm single. I'll pay it back if I survive. All right, the death benefit will pay it off. And then if I don't, I'll pay it off while I'm deployed. $600 a month. Come on. I got nothing else. Oh, my God. And he would tell these stories. He tells a story about going. They had a slot on the pistol range, and after he came back home as a staff sergeant, I, like, literally almost pissed my pants. He's telling a story one day, and he's never been to the pistol range, right? So they say, hey, staff sergeant, somebody can't go to qual day. You want to go? Like, yeah, if you qual, you know, you wear the badge. Okay. So he goes out there, and he's getting ready for the slow fire, all right? Or the range is getting ready for the slow fire, right? Mike, what is it, 15 rounds slow fire? Two magazines, yeah, I can't remember.
Yeah.
So anyway, but he thinks it's the rapid fire. Him telling this story. So, you know, the gate, right, of this is like, bam, right? Relax, put your hands down on the bench, look at your shot. They say, stand by, targets. Right, and he's sitting there thinking, like, look, I could do this, even though I've never been out here before. Like, look at all these people here. Most of them are non-grunts. I could do this, right? Targets! Bam, 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 bam! He shoots, like, all 15 rounds in, like, 10 seconds. And he said when he gets done, he, like, looks around, and everybody's staring at him, like, what just happened? He's like, what? Why is everybody looking at me? And the coach comes over and goes, hey, man, this is a slow fire. But he's still qualled. He's qualled that day. So,
yeah.
But he's funny. Craig Corsi is a funny, funny guy.
So he did this picture. This is a long story.
But hold on. So anyway, so what Corsi would do, he had, I don't know how he would do it, but he had this gift to cut out your face. And I don't know what app that he used it, but he would be sitting over there making one of these. And he made one of these of the gunner. But he could cut a face out, like, better than anybody, and that was his skill. So, anyway, go ahead now.
Oh, shit, I forgot what you were talking about.
The picture of your Iraqi family.
Oh, so it's just a picture of me with the, and he picked the wrong, he picked the Indians from India, not Afghanis. But Corsi didn't know any better.
He didn't know. And it didn't make any difference. It was funny. Everybody got a charge out of it.
Yeah, right. So he did a thing, and he said, it was like a brief that we did all the time, and then he's like, I know where the gunner goes, because he's always gone. And then this picture comes up, and then everybody's cracking up. He's got a family out in the bill that he goes and supports. And it shows me with a Hindu headdress on, not as, again, because it's wrong country, but it was funny. Yeah, it was funny.
Oh my God! Yeah, he made.
So I go visit the girls. Like I said, I haven't seen them in.
He made those. Years. He made those that were really funny. We photoshopped. We had our opso's named Lieutenant Colonel named Jim Fallon, and he's an angry human being. We photoshopped his head floating. We took this picture of the S3 Marines. Before we left it, and he was too busy. No, he had already gone home, so we had to Photoshop, or maybe he was busy. I think he was busy, and we didn't want to go get him because he would get pissed off. So I just said, look, take the picture, we'll Photoshop his head into it. So then when we went to Photoshop it, we made sure that his head was floating, and not connected, like, to a body or anything like that, and which was kind of cool when he saw it. What the? So... Yeah, but, you know, these are the small things in life that help get you through the day. The email. Hey, Matt, could you explain polytrauma again?
Well, you know.
Yeah, I'll explain it again.
What? Sure.
What is polytrauma?
Polytrauma?
Yeah, the polytrauma triad.
A person with many traumas.
Yeah, person. Think about it. Polytrauma, many traumas. In this case, three: pain, traumatic brain injury, and PTSD. That's
not
the polytrauma.
Confused with the polygamist.
Exactly. That's not a polygamist. That would be, polygamy sounds like a good deal. Really, it probably is not. Because
can you imagine?
No.
Three headaches in your house? Oh, please, someone.
Yeah. It all sounds good till you really give it some serious
stuff. Boy, I could use another wife, said no one ever. No, I'm just kidding.
What are you kidding about? It's the truth.
Yes, I know. Just kidding.
anyway. The so do you have any big plans for your birthday? Are you gonna go out to dinner? Are you gonna go to Christina's?
No. No. No, not tonight. Tonight I'm just gonna have pizza and watch a movie.
Pizza and a movie. All right.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds all right. Hey, what movie?
You know,
what movie?
I forgot to tell you something.
Uh oh.
It just came across my mind. This is how my mind's working today.
Here we go.
So you know what an MLF is, right? A master lesson file?
No.
MLF? Okay, so a master lesson file is when you teach a class, they want to have MLFs. You know, it's always, where's the MLF to this? And that's a master lesson file, and everything goes within the master lesson file, what you're going to teach.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the way that Train Education Command does things. It's always structured, you know, and everything like that. So when you're developing master lesson files, for instance, you know, one, your title will be mid-range training plan, and the master lesson file is everything that goes within there to support that class. It'd be the PowerPoint, the concept cards, all of this stuff, right? And it's crazy. So I'm, and this, I can't even, why I'm thinking of this when you were talking. So I was putting together this master lesson file for, I think it was that mid-range training plan, because I'm looking at it right now. And there was short-range training plan and long-range training plan. And how to create a training schedule. And I was going to train young officers on how to do this shit. And so we were doing this, and one of the captains, young guy, he's in there, and we're sitting there, and I had this up there, and he's giggling. And I said, what?
Whoa,
what's so funny? And he goes, we're going to have a class on MILFs.
Hey.
I said, what? Well, I was like, what? What? And he goes, you got the word MILF up there, Gunner. And I look up there, and it's like MLF. And I'm like, you know, and you're like, I was lost. Like, what are you talking about? And then everybody else kind of, that was,
was there, an I in there or just
no?
No,
it was just MLF.
Oh.
Capital letters.
So
MLF.
He was being stupid.
No, no. He thought that's how you spelt it. Because
stupid.
Yeah, stupid. And then he's bringing this up. And then everybody, then here was the funny part. The funny part is for a minute there, he thought all the other guys in there were laughing with him. That's what makes it sweet. You know, like, because they're all looking at him laughing, like, oh, my God. And he's, like, laughing harder, like, oh, yeah, Gunner's crazy, huh? And then it dawned on him when everybody's like, hey, you stupid ass. You know, like, what are you talking about? There's no I in there. And why, you know, like, what? But you then you see this whole, oh. And that's what makes it funny.
That is true.
When you get crushed, like.
When it flips upside down on somebody.
Yeah. So, and I just saw that when I was coming across this stuff. Cause
what are you looking
for
at?
For some reason, I was just on, we were talking, and I just had a folder, and I was like, what's this? And I clicked on it, and it's got, it's got all the medals.
Ooh. All your medals?
When I did a class on how to develop a medal.
Oh, and, a medal, a mission essential task list.
Yeah, and how to develop medals, and how that goes around, and
I hate that stuff.
Yeah, but you'd be surprised how many people don't know how to develop a medal.
I hate it. Honestly, I
used to teach that stuff. People, I used to teach
long-range,
mid-range, and short-range training plans. Oh.
You used to teach that stuff?
Coordinate training, evaluate training. Yeah. Conduct after-action reports.
That stuff is the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God. Good God, help us.
So, this is the stuff that, you know, like, I'm just looking at, like, unit readiness training plans. Oh. Please put a dagger in my eye.
Let me tell you, I hear a funny story. So, when you're going to do, we're going to do, we're working on doing post-traumatic winning. For 2nd Marine Division at the end of November. So now all these different people have to get involved in it because people have to get paid, you know, expenses have to get paid, stuff like that. So it's like Could you? I know I saw a 15-slide PowerPoint, but could you send me more information on what it's going to be taught and the expertise of the individuals that are going to be teaching it? Yeah, I can. So, but it's like, okay, you've seen the slides relative to the class. What do you want? Do you want a verbatim, like, this is the narrative of the class? Could you explain to me what you want before I go on this fool's errand? And I'm thinking, some ass, right?
But no one really wants it.
I know. No, no, he just wants something to put into a some kind of file so he can say, yeah, okay. We got this.
That's the stupid thing about it.
Yeah, drives me crazy.
I used to get on people, like, when they come back and I say, well, what's the holdup? Oh, sir, they haven't submitted the whatever, the Form 16B. Well, you know, okay, what's the Form 16B? The requirement of why they need this. And I say, okay, what do we do with that form? Well, when we get it, it gets stapled to everything else and it goes in this file. So, does anybody review it? No, sir. Okay, notice these long pauses in between because I'm letting you catch up and determine that you're stupid. But if you want to keep going, at the end of this discussion, I'm just going to tell you you're stupid, and I'm going to tell you, tear up the Form 16B or whatever the hell it is.
That's brutal, though. It's like...
Because they live this way.
Yeah, these are things...
I used to hate that. Why do we do that?
Yeah, these are things...
We've always done it this way.
Yeah, these are things they quantify, and this is how we're going to justify... Blah, 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 blah. Like, okay. Well,
you know
that way,
what I used to do every time I run across a stupid person? Punch him in the head. You want me to continue that thing too?
Yeah.
No.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there are some people. Yes. But you're right. There's a group of people that this has got to go in front of, and they got to have this completely filled out. They don't have it in the right font. Why does it have to be in the right font? Can you read it? Yeah. Does it get scanned and the scanner only picks up Courier New size 12? No. No, it doesn't. So why does it have to be in this courier? You understand what they're trying to get across? Yes. All right then. But sir, I don't care if it's always been that way. It's not always been that way because you know what? You've not always had computers, asshole.
Yeah, well, but here's the deal. Those systems work for us. We don't work for them.
No, that's not true. Yeah. I remember those sayings. Boy, this printer is going to stop paper. The computer, we were going to stop paper. It's going to save so much paper.
Right.
More trees have died because of the inventions of computers.
Every home has at least a printer. Most have multiple printers, which all kill trees. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The requirement for paper... has gone through the overhead.
It was the roof. It was all a ploy. The paper companies were all in on this. Yeah, let's sell it as it'll save paper. The computer will save paper.
Yeah,
this invention will be crazy.
Paperless. We're all going to go paperless.
Yeah. What it did was it created more paper.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, it created more paper. Know why?
It did have some effect.
No one liked onion skin.
Oh, no, everybody hates it. But you know what? It did, like, do you still get very much stuff in the mail?
Yeah.
I don't.
I do.
I all my bills are paperless now.
There are a few of my bills that come in the mail because they haven't jumped on this new thing called the computer. I live in a small town.
Exactly. But, yeah, I agree. I have a couple bills that come in paper because they don't offer it yet. But for the most part, they've latched onto that. So I like that. But you still get these big, like, advertiser sections. Why are you sending me that stuff? It's not like do people look at that? Does that have an effect? It must, if they're still spending that kind of money, but I don't know. Mail, like, do we need it anymore? Not very much.
Right.
Not very much. Those postal workers out there every day making some money, listening to their iPods, right? Listening to podcasts. Hey, what's up out there?
But you know what it did kill? Technology did, because, like I said, when in technology comes out, it not like paper didn't take away paper; it actually brought it out more. But like when digital music came out, it killed the record industry. Records, cassettes, you know, CDs, done. The movies now are done because you can download all the movies.
Yeah, but you're still seeing record attendance in theaters. Because you know what I think the problem with the theaters was?
No. Theaters are going to be fine. I'm talking about is DVDs, movie DVDs, like rental. Remember Blockbuster?
Yeah.
Where are they at now?
They go bye-bye.
Yeah, they blockbusted.
They did. They're gone. It's amazing how those – and you know what? Blockbuster went out of business very quickly, you know?
Right.
And so, as soon as you start to be able to, you know, rent them online, like, and you, everybody, like, yeah, I'm going to go down and get a movie. Go down and rent the VHS movie. Or then you went and got the DVD. And then they were everywhere, too. I wonder at the height of Blockbuster's business, how many stores they had. I've got a quiz for you. I'll give it to you.
We're getting a phone call from Irvine, California.
You are? Who's in Irvine?
But if there's there's no name, so I don't answer if there's not a name associated.
Ooh.
So I don't want to talk about this. Soon. It'll probably be the Pakistani.
This is two. This is from July. Soon there will only be one Blockbuster store left in the United States. I'm surprised there's still one.
Yeah, I was going to say, why did you keep that one?
At its peak in 2004, Blockbuster employed 84,300 people worldwide, including about 58,500 in the United States, and had about 9,094 stores total, 4,500 of them in the United States. Competition from Netflix, mail order, Redbox, automated kiosks, and video on demand services eventually led to Blockbuster's demise. Interesting. Blockbuster was everywhere. 4,500 stores to zero.
That's
impressive. That's a little bit of a decline.
Okay. Another phone call from Irvine, California.
I know a few people in Irvine that might be calling you.
Hello? Hey, let me call you back.
Who is it?
Okay, bye.
Ooh.
I don't know. I have no idea. I'm serious.
Hey, let me call you back.
Well, they're like,
Michael, happy birthday. They know you.
Well, I know they do. They know it's my birthday, so I must. But I don't know them. So I gotta play. I always gotta play the. Oh, hey, how you been? Hey, yeah. See. Hey, I was trying to, like, how is your name spelled again? Is it with the, you know, or something you got to come across like, I was just wondering, if I was to send a package, how would I address it? Because I forget, man. You're like, I don't know, Irvine, California. I don't know. Couldn't tell you.
All right, hold on. Let me. Okay, here's a quiz. I'm going to give you a voter turnout quiz in non-presidential elections. Okay, you ready? So, don't.
Remember, it's my birthday. Don't.
I know, but I know what you always do. You always do a search, and you pull up, and you say, "Well, is it this?" And you're like,
"No, I'm looking at this Native American museum."
Oh, okay. All right. Non-presidential voting numbers. All right. That's not what I want. That's presidential voting. It's actually pretty interesting. Voter turnout in hold on. We call them midterm.
But it's non-presidential. Oh, yeah, midterm elections.
Okay. There was a link that I went to. Oh, here it is. All right. It's kind of, I thought it was interesting. Okay.
It's going to be huge, right? Numbers are going to be huge.
This, in terms of this, I let me tell you, I don't know since I've been like an aware human being that I've ever seen this much interest in a midterm election. Why? I mean, that shouldn't surprise any of us. How many presidents do you think gained seats in the House or the Senate in a midterm election?
How many presidents?
How many presidents?
How can a president gain seats? Oh, you mean for their party?
For their party.
Overall?
Overall. How many presidents gain seats in...
they probably lose seats.
Overwhelmingly they lose, right? The pendulum swings
right
back. Okay, so how many do you think gain seats in either the House or the Senate?
One.
Three, four.
Presidents overall, like Reagan was one of them.
Okay, I'll go through them. Woodrow Wilson gained three in a Senate in a midterm election in 1914. Next one to gain seats in either the House or the Senate was FDR.
FDR, okay.
In his first term, he gains nine in the House and nine in the Senate. And then the next election, he sets the all-time record. He loses 72 seats in the House, seven in the Senate. And then in what, 1945 when he ran, he loses another 45 seats in the House. So FDR did. And then, let's see, next one to gain seats was John Kennedy.
How can that be? He died, didn't even serve out his full term.
I know, but there was a midterm election in...
In 62.
So gained four, he lost four seats in the House, gained four seats in the Senate, which is not bad.
Then Reagan.
And let's see, who was next? Then Richard Nixon.
No.
Yeah. He gained two seats in the Senate in 1970. Greatest all-time bumper sticker... Don't change dicks in the middle of a screw. Vote for Nixon in 72.
That is a good one.
I almost spit my Coke out when I was riding down the street with my mom and saw that. Next one to gain seats doesn't happen again until Bill Clinton does it in 1998.
Reagan didn't do it.
Wait, hold on. Reagan. Reagan lost. Reagan, he had a zero. In the Senate, he never gained seats. He only lost.
Huh.
Yeah, pretty interesting. He loses eight in he loses zero in the Senate. So they were 54. They had 54, and then he loses eight, and then goes down to 45 Republican seats in 1986, and then he loses one more to go down to 44. So kind of interesting. And then Bill Clinton in 1998 adds five seats in the House. George Bush in his first midterm, which would have been 2002, he adds eight seats in the House and one seat in the Senate. That's pretty, I think that might be the only year where you see twin, both gains in the House and the Senate, although I would have to double check. Barack Obama loses 63 seats in the House and six in the Senate. In his first midterm, second midterm, he loses another 13 in the House and nine in the Senate that tipped the Senate to the Republicans. So you can see the overwhelming body of work is negative. FDR went positive in both the House and the Senate in 1934. And then I think George Bush in 2002, FDR in the middle of the Depression, and Bush right after 2001, right? So election 2000, September 11th happens, and then we're voting the following year, 2002. So interesting, interesting. So I mean, it's no small feat for a party to pick up seats in either houses in a midterm election. Overwhelmingly, does not happen. So I just thought it was interesting. Okay, now in terms of percentage of people that vote, what do you think that is?
Overall,
compared to
what are we comparing to? Let's say the last election in 20, because that was a historical
midterm election numbers as opposed to.
I do know that this midterm, this midterm has more states. I think all but four have surpassed their midterm election vote out turnout since 2014. Which was the largest at the time. But this one is crazy. Crazy.
Yeah, I've never seen. When you look at this goes back to 1787. And I don't know. I mean, like Merle was counting, like, on the hardware, front porch in 1787 when people are, you know, and he's drinking moonshine half the day. I don't know that you can really rely on those statistics, but it says 1787 to the present. How about if we take 1908 to the present? So if we do that and we look at the numbers, where are we? Actually, go back to 1948, modern America. Presidential goes from between 50 and our latest in 2016 was like 55%. Mm-hmm. All right. Midterms are about 9 points below that. Last midterm, well, I take it back. Last midterm, 2010, was 37% in the midterm. How about that?
2014, I think, was the largest, though.
Yeah, that was 2012. Well, hold on. Let me go back. This is Pew Research Center I'm looking at. Pew. Let's see. This is 2014, which would have been the last midterm. No, 36.4%. And so in 2010, it was upwards of 41%. Highest at 1966 midterm. I wonder why that was such a contested midterm. That was like 48%. Mm-hmm. And so, although voting numbers have gone up since probably 1998, almost historic lows for both the general election And that's kind of an interesting statistic to look at. What elections in what year spawn large voter turnouts? And so I found them both interesting subjects in terms of you look at a certain year and you're like, wait a minute, they didn't turn out to vote. Looking at it historically, kind of interesting. Kind of interesting stuff. You would think, you know, for instance, you would think that certain years would have, for instance, 1968, you would think it would be like, well, yeah, that's the heart of the Vietnam and all kinds of stuff going on in the country, blah, 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 blah. 1968, presidential election, 60.7% turnout to vote. So a lot of people voted. Low, I want to say it was like 40-something percent. This is surprising, 49% in 1996. That would have been what, Clinton's second term when he got elected?
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, so, and then in 2016, estimated 55.5% of the electorate turned out, which is, I think, right around, as you look at the graphs, relatively normal, hovering between, somewhere between 55 and 60. When you get below 55%, it's kind of low. For the midterms, I would say the high point is 43 and the low point is 37. So the last 2014 midterm was the lowest since 1942, which was 33.9%, 36.4% in the last midterm. So, yeah, but by all indications, people are voting. And I think, you know, we've gotten smarter. Why we don't vote on the weekends, or why we don't start on like a Thursday and end on Tuesday, keep the polls open for 4 days and give people more than enough time to vote. Why we vote on a Tuesday? You know, you see the way other nations vote, and you're like,
Yeah. Why
do we vote on one day? And it seems
some of those nations are still in coups too. So
yeah, I'm with you. But it's like, for instance, like now early voting. Hello, you think? You know, I think that's all good stuff. You know, make it more available, make it more convenient. You know, let people participate in their
democracy. As long as you're voting for the right guy. That's all I got to say.
As long as if you're not, then we're not interested in either your voting,
what
right?
What you have to say.
Well, you know what? The president said something yesterday. The president says a lot of stuff, and some of it's crazy. But he said something yesterday that I thought was like a blinding flash of the obvious. Hey, if you're going to claim asylum, show up at a port of entry and walk into the office and say, I'm here to claim asylum.
Right.
Don't claim asylum when you've been caught sneaking into the country.
When the spotlight turns on you from the helicopter.
Asylum! What? Asylum!
Yeah.
Oh,
asylum.
Yeah. He's now a citizen. Congratulations. Play the music, boy.
Well, it goes back. Your first act of being a citizen of this state, it cannot be a felony.
Yeah, you know? No kidding. But it is. It is.
Bleeding hearts.
Broken system. What about, big birthday coming up. Do you have anything you want for your birthday? Like, you wanted the meteor pistol last year. Do you have anything you want this year?
No, meteor pistol's still on the list. Pistols.
Pistols?
There's two. They made two of them. I think you have to buy them as a group.
What was the weight of those things? Do you remember? Were they heavier, or were they in?
Well, they had to be heavier because meteors
dense.
Dense, yeah. No, I don't know. I couldn't tell you. They were $4.5 million, one of a kind.
Yeah,
Mike.
When I looked at them, they were like some kind of etching and stuff on them. Pretty cool.
Yeah, that's that natural, I guess, meteorite.
Right.
It doesn't say. It just says $4.5 million.
Yeah. So if you have it laying around and you want to get Gunner a.
And yeah, I would put your name on a plaque that they would be
Libby.
Libby. You to make up for sending the wrong gift. That would be a great makeup gift.
No, there's no such thing as makeup.
They almost look fake.
Yeah, they do.
But they're so beautiful.
I didn't believe Mike. Not that I didn't believe him. I was kind of curious. Then I saw it. I saw the price. I was like, I know he's not goofing on this. But it is. Hey, let me ask you this. When I go up to Mankato, I'm gonna do, you know, my thing for veterans, right? And that'll be fun and easy and hanging out with them. I'm then supposed to speak at the university's Veterans Day luncheon. What should my message be there, Mike? Is that still like, don't even
suck it up and quit trying to get free shit? God, I'm tired of that too.
So,
I'm a veteran. I deserve a free soda.
No, this is to the administrators, and what should I say to them?
Don't give out free shit.
Don't give out. Be harder on everybody.
Yeah, be equal on everybody. No,
make them pay.
Administrators.
Yeah.
Administrators of the VA.
No. This is Minnesota State University Mankato. So, so that it'd be like university administrators, maybe teachers, professors, and different.
Well, I told you what to do. The very first thing is get up and do the Pledge of Allegiance. Who was going to join me with the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag? Make it very uncomfortable. Very first day, they're going to be like,
"What?
Why did we invite this guy?
Yeah.
Well, shit.
Who is this
kook? He's a former Marine. Of course, he's a little patriotic.
Who is this kook?
Does anybody know the Pledge of Allegiance to the state of Minnesota?
We don't have one.
No, we don't have one.
Could you? And then I'll play a little audio. I'm going to play you some crazy audio. Imagine if a politician, right? Imagine if some crazy politician in our country, right, stood up and said this today. What do you think would happen to him?
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
We'd impeach that guy.
We would like, what? What?
Who is that asshole?
What I can do for my country?
What? That's not what it's about.
Yeah. Like, what planet is that dude on?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's why the Dems are in control of all the poor districts. They like that. They like keeping people on the dole.
I was talking about, like, the next 2 years, right? So by all accounts, right, and again, if you believe, and I'm just going to take it at its face value, if you believe what's being written, then the Democrats will control the House, the Republicans the Senate, and so we're going to have 2 years of nothing happening, nothing getting done. We'll get more of that, which is what got Donald Trump elected in the first place. But we're going to have to experience 2 years of that till we have another presidential election. And really, to me, what's going to be interesting is the Democrats don't have a candidate because Bernie Sanders is...
No, they're going to put Hillary up on her again.
She's not going to win.
Repackage.
She's not going to win.
But they repackage her.
No, right?
The new improved Hillary Clinton.
Joe Biden is the most serious candidate they have. So my point is this. The Democrats don't have a candidate that's going to appeal to the swing voters that elect the president of the United States.
Right? I hope to God they put Joe Biden up there. You know why? I look forward to all the little pedophile
things.
Yeah. Have you ever seen Joe Biden when he swears someone in and he always goes for the young 12-year-old girl? Creepy Uncle Joe, and they're like laughing about it. Oh, he's just creepy Uncle Joe. No, people go to prison for that, boys. I would punch him if my daughter was 12 and he was like, had his hands on her shoulders massaging her and then whispering something and then he went for a kiss. I'd punch him. I don't care if he's vice president of the United States. Dude, I was like,
But they don't have, I mean.
Yeah, put up Uncle Joe.
I don't mean somebody, some left-wing candidate. I mean somebody that's going to appeal to the voters, the center voting bloc that elects the president, right?
What they need to do is put, like, Maxine Waters up there.
They won't? Oh, come on.
They got to put someone fun.
We don't want what you want, okay? If you're looking for them to, like, make somebody to make a serious run at the presidency.
They don't have anybody.
Yeah, there's got to be somebody that comes out of what used to be the Democratic Party, because in order to get elected, you got to hold the center, right? You got to hold your party, and you got to hold, right, the majority of the independents. And
they like this guy. They like this guy running against Cruz, Beto O'Rourke. They do. Yeah. The Dems love this guy.
That's fine.
Because he's a young, bright, flashy, you know, good-looking guy.
Right.
People can associate with him. Right. The young people like him.
No doubt. That's what they did with Obama. And the other thing they like is that he doesn't have much of a record to defend.
Right. He's a freshman.
Right. So that makes it easy. It's like, so he doesn't have this litany of sins like John McCain
has.
He doesn't have a record to defend. You could just go on.
Or Hillary Clinton.
Right.
Been in politics her whole life. Hard to defend.
Right. So, you're going to see 2 years of nothing getting done, and then we're going to have another election on who should be the president of the United States. So, what bothers me is I think Trump obviously has his own challenges personally, okay? Oh, here's what he said. What he said yesterday, and I kind of alluded to it, but if you're going to claim asylum and it has merit, then show up at the port of entry. Don't do the rest of this stuff. And you're like, all of a sudden you listen to that and you're like, well, that's how asylum seekers normally operate. you know, this stupid con game that we're playing on the and again, and the Democrats don't have anything to say about it. The Dreamers don't even get mentioned anymore. What happened to that? It's all gone. So anyway, kind of interesting to watch, but 2 years of 2 years of nothing. All right, another email. Mac, please extend happy birthday wishes to the Gunner. I want you guys to do Gun Talk again, which I always find fascinating. So please schedule that. Put that on your list of things to do. And how old is the Gunner?
39. Hard to believe. Yes, it is.
39. Yes, Gunner just how many years in the Marine Corps? You joined the Marine Corps when you were what? 4?
9. Yeah, 9.
That is awesome. All right. So you're going to have an easy weekend. You guys are going to celebrate your birthday over the weekend. Nothing really going on today.
Well, no, I'm not a girl, so my birthday doesn't go into the weekend.
Hey, let's not be. No need to go there. But you got to have a day where you can, celebrate it, right? Just go out to dinner or whatever you're gonna do.
No, I like I said, I just want a pizza.
It doesn't matter.
Alex's, which is great, and just sit and enjoy.
But we have to have like cake and ice cream and a present. Yes.
I don't need presents. I already have enough presents.
You do have a lot of presents.
And plus, I'm very hard to buy for.
That's true. Here's a guy
who wants the meter at 45. I mean, come on.
What are you going to get him? But there's always things that those who know you could get you that you would appreciate.
Like what?
Batteries.
I have a shit ton. Don't get me more batteries. Seriously. I have enough batteries. Even I have lithium 1-2-3 batteries.
I don't mean like AAA or AA. I mean like good.
Yeah, batteries. I the lithium stuff because I have all high speed gear.
Okay, so if it wasn't batteries, what else would we get you? We could get you, what was that, those clothing things that we did a couple weeks ago? Can't remember.
Magpul shirts.
Magpul. Yeah, we would get you a gift card at Magpul.
Yeah, well, it had to be a pretty big sum of, like a $20 thing at Magpul.
$6,000 gift card at Magpul?
Yeah, that'd be great. I'd take that. I would.
See? I told you. We'd find something. We'd find something.
Well, I mean, just give me $6,000 in cash.
No, that sucks, man. Giving people cash is like...
Why?
I don't know.
Yeah. No.
The Trump Trump administration announces in veteran decline in veteran homelessness. You know what? We got a big mental health issue in the country. Okay, when you see veteran homelessness, that's a mental health issue, right? These whack jobs that are making bombs and killing people and all this stuff, these are like crazy people. And
the next step is to make veterans victims. Don't let them victimize us, guys, because then it just gets worse.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Victims.
Mike, I don't want to go there. The whole wounded warrior thing. Right?
Yeah, don't let them know.
Let me just tell you, I don't even want to talk about it, because we don't really talk about this very often, but, I mean, you start giving, and again, guys in the military, you start giving them, under the name Wounded Warrior, flying them all over the world and doing all kinds of stuff, you create a little bit of a welfare industry. And pretty soon, you're not treating...
Well, that's that whole... Yeah.
You're not treating...
Create the welfare.
Yeah, you're not treating the guys who are combat injured anymore. You're treating the sick, lame, and crazy now.
Treating the symptom.
Yeah, you're treating guys who've never been to combat, but... You know, they're part of a wounded warrior unit or
the guy that hits the fire hydrant because he was drinking too much.
Yeah, and so
get the head injury.
It's a problem. It's a problem.
Oh, yeah. It's a huge problem.
So, you know, and that's why to me, veterans should be more involved in this stuff. I think there's too many people that aren't veterans that don't look, can't look around and say, you know what, that's bullshit, man. Yeah. We're not doing that. You need to get your shit together. Now look, there's a lot of people that are damaged, but I would say, and this is just me, I'll give Mike a little quiz right here. Mike, how many guys have walked up to you and said the zombie cocktail and group therapy really worked for me? It's awesome.
Said no one ever.
Okay, no one ever. Me, no one has ever said that to me. Okay, what percentage of guys do you think need to sit down and learn about what happened to them, be trained in what they're capable of, how to get good at money, and how to get good at relationships, which are the two major triggers of suicide? What percentage of guys do you think simply need that as opposed to guys who need more substantial psychological treatment for no shit legitimate mental health disorders? If you were to swag that, what would you say? Yeah, no shit is right. I'll give you my swag, 90-10 in terms of percentages.
Really?
Right.
I'm trying to think of who the 10 would be.
I agree. Even 10. Yeah. But I'm because I'm a generous guy. I'm a generous guy.
You're around the nearest 10?
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm a generous
guy. I would say 100-0.
Yeah, almost. Yeah, there's a small. So when you look at all combatants that both, I want to say, Vietnam, Iraq, and Afghanistan. You look at it's like 30% of combatants have diagnosed PTSD. Well, it's not like the other 70% don't have it. They just don't go get it diagnosed. They just say, I'll live with my shit. Okay? So because you can't go through that experience without it staying with you, without the trauma staying with you. So we have 30% diagnosed. So out of the 30%, 70% have it. They don't just, they just live with it. And then, so what percentage of the 100%, you know, have mental health issues that need other help? And so and that's the whole victim thing. Look, if Elizabeth Smart can do it, if my sister can do it, you can fucking do it too. So, but I think that's a veteran message, right? An administrator can't say that. Like, oh, how can we help you? Okay, over here. Okay, sure. Come on, sit down. Have a seat. Do you want some water? Right? As opposed to a veteran like, hey, man, what's up? How can we help you? Hey, you know, I'm having this. Great. You came to the right place. Water's over there. Coffee's over there. Have a seat. We'll be with you in 10 minutes. And you're like, I'm home. You see I Love Me shit on the wall. You got veterans walking around. Hey, man, come on in here. And that's, hey. So, anyway, I agree with you. I think we need to take over the VA.
Mm-hmm.
We'll fire 50% of the people because we're going to administer a PFT. If you can't run the PFT, you're out. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll give you a little severance package, too. But you're out. So, yeah. Just,
hey,
just a thought.
Here's the word of the day. And this
word
shows
of
you
the,
how crazy.
Word of the day?
This just popped in my head about 5 minutes ago, and I've been thinking about it.
Hey, do you know today's All Souls Day?
What?
Yeah. Today's the Feast of All Souls.
Oh, my birthday.
Yeah. I thought you would
Emissivity.
What?
You know what that is? Emissivity.
Yeah. Emissivity. It's a Mississippi city.
No. Emissivity. 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 I just thought about that like 3 minutes ago.
No.
5 minutes ago.
I don't know that.
So that deals with thermodynamics, and it's the ability for like surface area. Everything's rated on a black body, some black at the same surface temperature and surface area. So, like, concrete has a very high emissivity other than, like, human skin or water. Hmm. And so why I'm thinking of that?
Yes. Why?
Well, because I was talking about thermals, you know, like thermal binoculars.
Like,
we were talking about thermals.
Thermal underwear. Okay.
Yeah, thermal underwear. No, we were talking about thermal dynamics of thermal, like thermal imagers, what we used in the Marine Corps.
Right.
And we were talking about how, like, we were detecting IEDs. I was just, that's my mind.
That's
crazy.
That's how your mind works?
Yeah.
Whoa, that's a pretty complex mind you got there, bro.
No, it's screwed up. It's wired wrong. It's like, misfiring. Yeah, it's like, you know, people ask me, like, how do you know this shit? Like, what do you mean? Because we talk about that.
Rain Man.
You're like, emissivity. Oh, concrete has a higher emissivity of human skin compared to water or aluminum. And they're like, look at me like, what?
What?
I don't even know what that word means.
Thank you.
But you're like, but you don't talk about conduction, convection, or radiation now either. And they're looking at me like, dude, you're a nerd. No. That's IR radiation. I'm going to talk about thermal energy. But I was talking about thermals the other day with somebody, because I think the police are going to start wanting to buy thermals. And I said, do you guys know how to use thermals? And they're like, yeah, you just turn them on. I said, no. You guys know thermodynamics, you know emissivity? And they're like, what? I said, I used to teach this shit. I used to work with this stuff. I used to talk about Roy G. Biv.
That's when Mike goes geek on you.
Well, Roy G. Biv, the optical spectrum.
I know. RGB.
Right?
Yep.
Roy G. Biv. That's the visible colors that you can see. What are we missing, Mac? To the right of visible spectrum we have?
The invisible spectrum.
No.
What?
No. The invisible. No. To the right.
To the right of the visible?
Yeah. Of the visible is the infrared.
Of course. That's what I said.
Yeah. And so you have the middle IR, you have the near IR, and the far IR.
Right.
That's within the microns.
Will you not?
To the left of the visible spectrum we have?
The thermal spectrum.
No, we have the ultraviolet.
Damn it.
Yeah. So that's the optical spectrum. So the optical spectrum consists of those three categories. Ultraviolet, the visible, and the infrared.
Quit stuttering.
Yeah. And then the visible's broken down into Roy G. Biv, colors of the rainbow, in order, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. And then to the right of the visible spectrum, because we're talking about and dealing with microns, is the infrared. Now we're not talking about, then the spectrum, the optical spectrum, of course, is bigger because we talk about gamma rays.
Look, you need to stop, okay? You need to stop.
That's the shit that's in my head.
You need to do something about that.
Yeah, I need to eat pizza.
You know what? What kind of pizza do you like?
Oh, pepperoni, sausage, and green olives.
Green olives, really? I'll have to try that. I like pepperoni, pepperoni, sausage, and mushrooms.
Green olives, Mac. Try green olives. Best thing ever on a pizza. Because I used to eat anchovies.
Best thing ever? Anchovies.
Whoa. I like that saltiness.
Yes.
But the green olives add that. Green olives, man. If a pizza place doesn't make green olives, they're not a good pizza place. They don't have green olives.
Come on. Every pizza place has...
No, they don't.
No?
Nope.
Come on.
No, they don't. Check and see. Like Domino's, but that's not a pizza place.
Yeah, sure it is. Domino's is awesome.
I told my other person, I said, what do you want to do for your birthday? What do you want to eat? And I always joke and say Red Lobster. And I get to, I'm not going there. And I always say Red Lobster. Like when the commercial comes on, it's like Crab Fest or Lobster Fest or Shrimp Fest. Yeah. I'm like, oh, shit, let's go to Red Lobster. It's Lobster Fest. I'm not going there. So that was coming up again. It was like, what do you want to go for dinner for your birthday? Red Lobster. I ain't going. You know when was the last time I ate a Red Lobster?
You got a gift
card.
Year.
I'll give you 5 years left in life.
Let's see. Last time you ate Red Lobster would have been 1995.
You're off by about 10 years to the left. It was like 85, 86. First time I came.
Why, did you have a bad dining experience there?
I thought it was like a highfalutin restaurant.
Yes.
You know, Young Marine.
Yes.
Took a date there one time.
Yes.
And
what happened?
Both got sick.
Oh, well, you know what? Seafood will do that to you. It's
not bad seafood.
It's not. It's not for everybody.
Yeah, it's like like Long John Silver's fast food seafood, which you got to be drunk off your ass to eat a Long John Silver's. You're eating fast food seafood. Come on now, that's two bullets in the chamber. You're playing Russian roulette with two bullets in the chamber. Two bullets.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. All right, let me give you a final quiz on your birthday. Okay, today's November 2nd, okay? How many days are left in the year? 59.
Not much.
All right, today's highlight of history, on this date in 1976, Jimmy Carter became the first candidate from the Deep South to be elected since the Civil War as the President of the United States, defeating who did Jimmy Carter defeat?
Ford.
Gerald R. Ford, who kept – remember they used to always like – Ford
falling down?
Yeah, he used to fall down all the time. What was that about?
You know he's a football player?
Yeah, football player.
A really good football player.
At Michigan.
Yeah.
On this date in 1783, George Washington issued his farewell address to the Army near Princeton, New Jersey.
Yeah.
Okay. On this date in 1889, North Dakota and South Dakota became the 39th and 40th states with the signing of proclamations by President Benjamin Harrison.
I don't even know if there's enough people to call them states. They're like territories.
Yeah. North Dakota's got, I want to say, 650,000 people.
Yeah, see, there's a territory. Let's just call them territories.
Yeah, it's like a third of the size of San Diego County.
Yeah.
On the state in 1947, Howard Hughes piloted the huge wooden flying boat, the Spruce Goose.
Spruce Goose.
Were you the one that told me that it's no longer in Long Beach?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's up in Oregon, Portland, or something like that?
Somewhere.
Some museum up north?
It's just an eyesore.
On the state in 1948, President Harry Truman surprised experts by winning a narrow upset over Republican challenger Thomas E. Dewey, which led to the famous picture of Truman holding the paper that said, Dewey defeats Truman. Let's see. On the state in 1955, game show host Charles Van Doren admitted to a House subcommittee that he'd been given the questions and answers in advance when he appeared on the NBC TV program 21. That was a big deal, evidently, in the 50s, that they were rigged.
Yeah.
They were rigged because we as a nation believed in stuff like that.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Today's birthdays. Is there anybody? Pat Buchanan is 80. Let's see who else. Don't know him. Don't know her. Don't know her. I've heard of him. Don't want to mention his name. Anybody here? No, there's nobody who has a birthday whose name I would recommend. They don't have deaths on today, and so that'll do it. That's today in history. We should do history more often. We like history, and it always leads to interesting comments and conversation.
Yeah, it does. It's fun. History's fun.
I agree with you. History
and it reminds guns, you how stupid we can be.
History and guns are both fun.
No, guns are more fun. But
guns are fun.
Are funner.
Are funner. All right, man. Hold on. One more. Hold on. Somebody sent me something. I'm trying to think if it's. I'm trying to tell if it's intended for you. It is not. Expedia wants to know how my travel experience was. My travel experience was all right. All right. That's it, man. Have a good
day. Okay, so if you ask questions, listen, people. Don't ask. Ask open-ended questions. That's not an open-ended question. So he's going to say, it was no fun. There, period. Don't ask open-ended questions. Always ask open-ended questions. Get the conversation flowing.
Oh, because there's a lot of people that say always ask closed-end questions. That way you don't have to extend
closed-end. Closed-end, if you want to steer them, if you're selling them something.
Right, there you go.
Yeah. Open-end, if you want to know what's his interest.
Who they think. Which is
like when you're talking to girls. When you talk to girls, always be asking open-end questions until you get ready to close. And then ABC, always be closing.
ABC, always be closing. I love that.
Yeah.
All right. All right,
man. What's up there?
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
There he is, the birthday boy, Gunner. See you later. Out. I know it's juvenile of me, but I like that stuff. That'll do it. All right. If you want to hear a pretty interesting little soliloquy about presidential politics and polytrauma, don't touch that dial. And then the Allmarine Radio head chef talks about prime rib. How to, you know, he'll tell you how to sear prime rib so you get that nice crust on the outside, and then you slow cook the rest of it. If you go to the Allmarine Radio website, click on podcast, and then you will see, no, click on blog, you will see a thing that says Allmarine Radio Head Chef's Recipes or something like that. Click on that, and then there's, you have to click one more time, it says click here to go to his recipes. That'll take you to all the recipes. His prime recipe and pictures are in that. But I'm telling you, if you're looking for a recipe, go in and check that thing out, because that guy and his wife make incredible food. And I would have told you that the best restaurant between Minneapolis and Seattle, the Allmarine Radio Head Chef used to run. Sanders, 1907 in beautiful downtown Grand Forks. So, Mac, what is your actual opinion of birthplace citizenship? I would tell you this. I think if you reform the immigration system, it doesn't really matter. Okay? I think birthplace citizenship is something that has been part of America for a long time. I think it's now being used as one more thing that's wrong. It used to be, you know, America has open doors. You can't have open doors if you don't have any doors. And it's just a, the doors are off the hinges. And, you know, and you don't even have a policy that's effective. So I think that there's so much necessary immigration reform that needs to be done. And I would tell you this, the Democrats won't have any part of it. And I think it's pathetic. And so you have states that along the borders where these issues are incredibly important that they don't get the relief they need because national politicians don't want to go there. So I think it's sad. I think that, you know, birth, location, citizenship is probably not material, okay? Especially when you balance it to all the other things in the immigration system that need to be fixed. If those things get fixed, it's immaterial. The way it's being used is another indictment on another broken piece of our immigration system, which is absolutely positively correct. In and of itself, is it important? Is it relative? If you fix the rest of the stuff, the answer to that is no. So, but, you know, I will tell you this. I would say the same thing. A policy that made sense in 1783 might not make sense in 2018. So, ought it to be reviewed? Probably. Does it still make sense? I guess when we review it, we can judge that, whether it does make sense or not. Does it make sense in terms of its symbolism relative to the Statue of Liberty, to this open door, this shining light, this gateway to a new world? Right? Maybe. Maybe that does make sense. Maybe it's worth that. But it's not if you don't reform your immigration system. And it looks like we can't do that because Democrats won't help. Because it gives the president a quote-unquote win. So, we'll find out next week how this all shakes out, but get ready for 2 years of nothing on a Friday. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday. Fired up about going up to Mankato and spreading the word. Thanks for listening. Don't be afraid to spread the gospel of All Marine Radio. Which is the gospel of post-traumatic winning. Have a good day. Have a good weekend. We'll see you Monday.